KO4QLG, KO4NUE.
KO4NUE, KO4RYP. Did I miss a call from you?
RYP, this is KO4NUE. No, I was just trying to get in touch with Chris, but I'm glad you answered, though.
I was just in another room and couldn't hear if you called my call sign or not, so I just wanted to double check. All right, be careful.
Okay, I love you. Take care. QE. And I will be cleared on your final, ma'am.
This is KO4RYP. I'm clear.
O4QLG. KO4NUE. KO4QLG. KO4NUE. Give me just a minute. I get some fuel in this beast. I'll be right back.
Roger that.
QLG, KO4NUE.
QLG, what's going on this morning?
I'll just need a little bit of help getting there. A little bit sleepy, and I know I'll drift off. But if I got somebody to talk to me on radio, I don't drift, you know. But are you ready to go?
Your timing was about perfect. Got everything took care of, and how early did your day start this morning?
Midnight ended about midnight, I guess. And then just had to go ahead and lay down. So I laid down around midnight and got up at 5 this morning, mixed my coffee and did my business, and then put stuff in the truck and down the road we go. So
say I'm ready. I ain't had no coffee or breakfast. Well, that's one thing I guess we gotta do.
We're gonna get some good food while we're gone. That's just and I'm gonna take a picture and send every time we get a nice little plate of Indian food or some kind of different kind of food, I'm gonna take a picture and send it to my wife who may be listening, KO4RYP. And we're just gonna eat all this wonderful food, and you go right ahead and have your crackers and peanut butter, KO4NUE.
How far are you down the road?
Probably 40 minutes from you, somewhere around there. But, yeah, I've been on Highway 11 long.
Wings out?
Folded in. They folded in, and I'm doing warp 9.
Know them roads pretty good by now. Been 50 years, ain't it?
It will be. Well, I'm 49, so 30-something years, I guess. But, nah, they're supposed to have police out this weekend. I had them out last weekend. And, they're saying that they go going on a speeding ticket binge, trying to catch people speeding for the next couple weekends. And boy, they were last weekend, man, they were out in force on 85. Oh my goodness, I bet you I saw 20, 30 police cars out on 85 pulling people over.
Don't give me any bear reports on the radio now, do you? Like we did on the CB?
Did Smokey the Bear?
On the big roads, we always whenever we see one, just tell everybody what mile marker they are, what kind they are, that kind of thing, you know.
That's the way they're doing it now. They got a new app on the phone. I can't remember the name of it. It's Waves. I believe it's Waves. And what it does is it's mapping. It's a mapping app. So if you're driving down the road and you see a policeman shooting radar, you hit the icon on the phone, and anybody else that's got that app that's within a X mile radius of you, it notifies them immediately on a map that you can see, hey, there's a policeman right here and he's shooting radar. We just want to let you know. And it's pretty effective.
A lot of people probably won't like that, but there's other reasons for knowing where those guys are other than being able to get away with speed, you know. That wasn't really the objective. But it's sure nice to know where they are.
Yeah, no, I agree. I'm glad they, you know, man, I'll be honest with you, I don't have an issue with policemen at all. Until you get one that is hateful. If he's hateful, and I haven't given him a reason to be hateful, I can't understand that in my mind. I just, that's so difficult for me to do. I mean, you do whatever you want to do. All you got to do is just maintain your professionalism. You don't have to be a blankety blank. Just do your job, be professional, and be polite, and you ain't going to hear a peep out of me. I'll be the first one to say, you doggone right, I was speeding. And when he says, well, you were doing 72 miles an hour, I'll be first to tell him, no, I was doing 76. But when he gets ugly, I just can't do it.
This is a good thing there's not many of them out there.
You're right about that. There's a few. But not just really, really bad. Just a few. Me and my wife and kids got pulled over one time about 15 years ago here at Welford, and he was just hateful. I mean, hateful. I had the kids in the back, Anna sitting in the passenger seat, and I mean, he's just talking to me like a piece of trash. And finally, I just told him, I said, officer, there's no need, no reason for you to give me a speeding ticket and talk to me like this in front of my children. And I said, if you want to continue on doing this, you go right ahead. I said, but I'm not going to even acknowledge you're there. So just don't say another word. You go do what you got to do. And go write your ticket, and then you come back, and I'll let the window down a little bit, and you put the ticket in the window, but there's no reason for you to talk to me like that. I'm not being disrespectful to you, and you're not going to do it to me. And, oh, man, he still was hateful.
Like he wasn't listening to you. I got pulled over at a check station one time. In the pickup truck, and didn't have my driver's license, left it at home, and there was a deputy sheriff, and he asked me what my license number was, and being a truck driver, commercial driver's license, you know, we know our driver's license number because I have to use it all the time. I just told him my driver's license number. He went and looked it up. send me on my way.
Didn't even have them with you.
They were not on my person.
It's kind of a big deal on the commercial side.
Was a local sheriff. I was in a pickup truck, so I guess when he pulled my license up, he saw his commercial. That was a nice guy. Another guy had a couple shotguns in my back seat of the pickup truck, and he pulled me over. I think this was another check station too, right? I hadn't seen one of those check stations in a long time where they just stopping everybody. But those two shotguns in my back seat were not in a case. And he just informed me that they have to be in a case, even if they're in your back seat. And he let me go too. I've had some good experiences, I reckon.
When I was in uniform, working, still working, and I'm coming home from the shop, and I was in uniform now, and got pulled over by Spartanburg County on the backside of Greer, and he came up to the vehicle, get my driver's license and registration, and saw I was in uniform. We got to talking, and he says, I'm at the 882nd down there in Greenville, and he was Army Reserve. And so we got talking, this, that, and other, and he says, partner, he says, what you want to do here? And I says, well, I don't, he was a sergeant, and I was a sergeant on the military side. But I said, man, I don't want no ticket. He says, all right. He said, I'll make a deal with you. He said, if you can answer this one question, I'll let you go. Let me let this repeater drop. Kill 4 NUE. And I said, what's the question? He says, what's the only command given in the military that does not require a preparatory command?
Thinking, I should know that. Probably attention.
Attention gets a preparatory command. Company, attention, hood. So company would be your preparatory command.
Off right now. But I still know what an old black movement is.
Gas, gas, gas.
I was on the wrong train of thinking there. I was thinking drill.
Months later, we met up there at the airbase, and I went and bought him lunch. Had a little restaurant outside the gate there. I took him up there and bought him lunch. we talked for an hour, hour and a half up there, shooting the jab in the jaw, you know. And he's an interesting fella.
You know, I ain't never been in law enforcement, but with my job, I know a lot of them, and I think that when they're doing those stops, they're really kind of looking for a certain type, maybe even stereotyping, but they think they know what to look for, and if you're a pretty good, honest, straight shooting person, I don't think they're looking to do anything to those people, you know?
You're exactly right. Usually, you know. Now, EMPs, they're a little bit different. I can't think of one instance where I've ever had to deal with an MP where they were not just jerks. But, you know, they're dealing with a different type of person, too. And that person person has a weapon on him all the time, so I can, you know, I can understand. I can understand where they're coming from, I guess.
A friend of mine down in Columbia, his son just graduated as an MP and just moved to his first duty station at Camp Courtney. Same one I was stationed at. I hadn't gotten in touch with him lately, but talking about an MP that just brought up that thought.
You say Camp Courtland?
Courtney in Okinawa, Japan.
But, that's in Japan?
Okinawa.
Okay. All right. Well, yesterday, got on. Well, let me tell you what I've been doing the last couple of days. So, I got my general ticket that lets me get up on the HF bands. And so, I don't know, a week or so, I've just been kind of listening. Hadn't been really doing a whole lot, but listening. So, decided one day, I'm going to go ahead and put my antenna up, and if I find something interesting, then, you know, I'll be able to talk. So, I listened for another day and found a net called the single sideband net, and it's a traffic handling net. What you do is handle traffic. So, if a message in Tennessee needs to get a message to Florida, then you jump on the high frequency rig and you call into that traffic net and say, hey, I'm KO4NUE in Tennessee, and I need to get a message to KO4QLG in Florida. Traffic handler will pick up your call and will take your information and record it on an official radiogram form. And once that form is filled out, that traffic handler, that's his job to route or deliver that message. It's KO4NUE for station ID. Sorry, there's a special format you gotta use. Chris, hang on one sec, bud.
04QLG station ID.
Special format you gotta use, and special codes that go on it. And you got 25 words. That's all you got. And punctuations count. Excuse me. So, I enrolled in the class there to learn, you know, how to handle the traffic. And it's pretty neat. I'm impressed. I really am. So they have nets all the way across the United States. And if I want to send a message to a family member, a friend, or another amateur radio person, then I jump up on a single sideband net in South Carolina and tell them, hey, I have outbound traffic for this person in Minnesota. And records my information on a radiogram form. And then he takes it and contacts the next closest net, which will be up above Tennessee. And he puts that message into their net. Then he takes that message and shoots it on into another net, moving across the United States until that message gets close to where the original user wanted it to go. The last node picks up the message. They assign it to a traffic handler, and he will make contact with that person via cell phone, radio, email, or mailing address, one of the two, one of the four, and deliver the message. And it's pretty neat. So let me ID and I'll be right back. That's KO4NUE for station ID. Classes, and the guy was teaching me. Says I think you're good enough to give it a shot. So I had him generate a message, a test message, and addressed it to Walt. That lives close to me, and he checks in on this net every night. So I knew Walt would be there, and I created a message myself to send to another user on the net. So when the net control calls in at night and said, are there any formal traffic or are there any emergencies, formal traffic or announcements, please notify the net control. Ever since traffic, I don't think anybody knows what traffic is. So after I've been doing my training lessons, I called him back and said, net control, if these two stations show up on your roll call, please notify them that I have traffic for them. And the net controller, Dave, did a really good job with it. He knew exactly what to do, you know. I mean, I was impressed, but he had a form out. He knew what was going on. And we, you know, line by line, delivered the message. And that was, you know, kind of neat. So about 10 minutes later, the other station checked in, and I read the message off to him. I'm thinking, okay, well, nobody ever sends traffic. I'm fixing to get my butt chewed because, you know, this is not something they do normally. And Wendy, one of the net controllers up in Simpsonville, she said, I was glad I hung around to see that because I've never seen traffic sent over the net like that the correct way. And it's several people hung by after the net to listen to how that was done and so on and so forth. But that was really neat, and I didn't think it would work. So basically what happened is one of the traffic handlers up in Tennessee generated a message for Walt in Inman. He assigned that message to me on the HF band. I transcribed what the message was, and an hour later, when we signed into the Caesars Head net, I took that routing number and message and sent it through our net to Walt as he recorded the information off of the radiogram card. So it's kind of like a telegram, but it's sent on the radio, and it worked. I mean, it word for word, it worked. And no cell phone, no computer, no landline, radio relay. And I just thought, man, that is neat, you know?
Wasn't aware of that process to go through there.
He's been doing some more studying, and I got some more messages I'm going to send, but one of these days I'm going to send you a message, and so you can transcribe it. It's a neat skill to know how to do, because you know, in an emergency situation, or you know, no power, no anything, no cell phone, you know, ice storm or whatever. If you don't have a message in that format, it's not going anywhere. It will not go nowhere, because it's not formal. But when you put it on that form, as an amateur radio operator, you have got the authority to send that message to whom or whatever. And it's the responsibility of every amateur radio operator, according to the rules, to assist in any means necessary to help the traffic handler pass the message to the next user. But nobody ever practices that to know how to do it. So I decided I'd send it through the net the other night and kind of see what happens.
I heard y'all talking a little bit about it, I think, yesterday. It's pretty interesting.
Some Army buddies that I've stayed in touch with, and they pick at me for getting my license, you know. I think it's funny. Which I guess it is. It is a little kooky. But you know, so I'm on, and especially Cubby. You know, Cubby's this big, you know, internet guru, you know, spends his whole life on the internet, talks through the phone on the internet, does everything he does on the internet. So he picks on me the most. So his little tail's fixing to receive a radiogram message through his boss at work. And do you know what message I'm going to send him?
Can you imagine what that would be coming from you? The field is so wide.
I sent you a message without the internet. Period. Get back to work, Chad.
That'll go over pretty good, baby.
Yeah, but I'm gonna address the message to his boss man. So his boss man's gonna get the message. And then his boss man's gonna have to go out there and read it to him.
What field do they actually work in? I was just wondering what field they actually work in, where his boss man would have to do that, or they all him.
Some operator deliver it to his boss man, and then with the special instructions. The message is really for Garrett Culberson, but the sender requested that it go to you and have you deliver it to Garrett Culberson.
See now, yeah, I was a little slow on that one. But I see what you're saying, that's a good one.
Get a call, and that's the intent. And when he does, I'm gonna let it go. Oh, your precious internet, you know, blah, 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 blah. So you can't do that on the internet, can you?
And in the background, I just don't have my laughing voice set up for the radio yet.
Well, I wouldn't worry about it, man. It's just, you know, just talk. Just be yourself. Don't have to worry about it. I don't think anybody else does either. They just talk. But so I made two new contacts on the Marietta repeater yesterday afternoon. One of them's Steve and the other one is Shane. I can't remember remember right off the top of the head what their call signs were, but I'd started talking to Steve first, and I think he's about 6 or 8 miles from 6 Mile. But we talked for 10, 15 minutes, and then this older fella jumped in. His name is Shane. And he says, is this Chad? And I said, yes, sir, it is. It's Chad. And he says, you're Stephen's cousin. I said, yes, sir, I am Stephen's cousin. I said, he calls himself Stephen, but his real name is Dale. And he says, oh, okay, I see. So he says, well, Dale's been talking about you. Stephen's been talking about you. He said, I got two cousins, and they just got their ham radio license and blah, blah, blah. So he's been talking about both of us for a couple of weeks. So I just sent him a text yesterday and said, boy, you better get up on the 145 on Marietta because, man, we are talking garbage about you. He popped in, and the four of us talked for, I don't know, about an hour, you know, just about whatever. Dale took his son down there to the cabin to go camp, and took his son, and he said they had a really good time, and I think his son really enjoyed it, too. But, you know, we talked a little bit about that. The bear, Dale says the bear's back because he tore my garbage can all to pieces, scattered stuff everywhere. So I got to take a look at that and see what he's tore up down there. But other than that, let me let you talk for a little while, and then I'll take a break. Chris, I am at, it's KO4 NUE station ID. I'm in Abner Elementary School.
Just down the road, then. That's Ambler. Yeah. Talking about the neighborhood. That last little excitement that we had, sheriff deputies came out and actually set up a game cam of theirs. And it lasted about a week. And Dave went and checked it the other day, and the sheriff's game cam is gone, and what they was watching is gone. So they got them about a $200 game camera. Dave said it was pretty nice. That's just a guess because they have all our proof. I guess they got one over on us, but can't say that it wasn't expected because the deputies have been through this before, and we all, every one of us knew, you know, that we was taking that risk. That's why we used the sheriff's equipment instead of ours, because Dave was going to go set one up of his own. And I reckon he's kind of glad he didn't do that now.
So the sheriff came out there and put one up, or Dave went to the sheriff and got one to put one up?
Go for QOG station ID. No, I called the sheriff that one guy that I know, I called him, and he told me that they could come out and set one up, and the following week after I talked to him, the deputies actually came up. Dave took them down there and went and got them a ladder. And they actually set it up, did everything. Thought that was pretty nice of them. Sorry they got beat out of a $200 game camera now.
So the sheriff department didn't pick it up.
Well, not unless they were just trying to do something underhanded, because Dave had it set up with him that he was going to check it once a week, and the first time he went to check it, it was gone. And Dave texted the deputy, and it was a surprise to the deputy, so...
What happens next?
Haven't got that far yet. Have not had any more communication with him other than that. The next thing, I'll have to tell you about it over off the air. It's something that would probably be somewhat classified information.
Okay, so who's taking care of Jim while we gone?
Marks is heading up there this morning to get her started. Corliss is coming at lunchtime for a Sunday dinner. She's gonna spend the night. And I think Randall and them's gonna be fixing supper for the next few nights, and I'm not sure, but I think Randall's going to spend Tuesday night with Randall, and Janice is going to spend Tuesday night with her.
Sure, I got this right in a nutshell. So it takes three siblings to do what you are doing. Am I copying that right?
But I'm really the only one that sees how much help she needs. And I think this might open their eyes a little bit. And things will probably change a little bit from here on out.
I'm afraid to comment on that. I'm going to say no, but we'll see.
It ain't funny, but my laughing voice was going off then, too.
Family, so I can, you know, I got rights to talk smack. So, you know, they're gonna let little brother do it. It's what they're gonna do.
But I'm perfectly content with that, because I'm getting more pleasure out of it than anything, being able to do stuff like that. Kind of makes your day go better.
That day, let me rephrase that. In the end, you're going to be the one that is going to have the most time with her. And I have been told, I don't know for a fact, because I haven't been through this yet, but I have been told several times by several different people that is such an honor to be able to do that and to, you know, have that privilege to care for your parent at the end stages of their life. And just to be able to have those moments really means a lot after they're gone and the other siblings don't have an opportunity to do that.
Already see that they're missing out, but I've heard what you're saying too. I'm considering it a privilege, because the person that I talked to most recently about it said that even when it was hard, he was thinking it was bad, but like you said, in the end, he said he wouldn't take nothing in the world for those times.
Is that Henry?
None of mine's Scott. I don't think you know him. But no, it wasn't Henry. Henry had some good things to say about his experience, too. But Scott's opinion directly applies to this situation, man. Our situations were pretty much the same.
I'm fixing to start dealing with that with Mom, because she's, well, with Brad, he's wanting me to do a medical power of attorney for him with the VA. So when I get back from Richmond, I got to sit down with him and do a medical power of attorney. Get that paperwork to the VA. And then Mom, bless her heart, she just, I don't know how to describe it. It's just early onset dementia is what it is. And I mean, that there's no rhyme or reason to that. It just happens and it comes and goes. But, you know, when it comes or and then it goes, that's just the first stages of it, you know. So I've got her on some Prevagen, hoping that can help a little bit. And it's just, it's not going to be long.
The Prevagen is probably a good thing. I had Mom on that for a little while. The drawback to that is the people that I've spoken with personally that say that it does help. It takes about 3 months worth of staying up on it to actually see the first results. And that's a hard thing, staying on the regimen, you know. That's one of the hardest things about it, because you think it ain't doing no good, and then all of a sudden it starts doing good, and you done stop taking it 2 weeks earlier and got to get back on it. Just turns into a big mess. And that stuff is kind of expensive, too.
Well, Mom's getting a little, she's got to where she's getting a little bullheaded. She's, I don't know how to describe it. I wouldn't say mean or hateful, just, well, I give you a situation. So, you know, for her birthday, it was like, hey, Mom, you know, let me take you out for lunch for your birthday. Nope. You ain't taking me anywhere. I'm staying right here. And I tried to, you know, hey, Mama, it's your birthday. I don't do birthdays anymore, and just, I'm not going anywhere. We're staying right here. I've cooked lunch for us, and you can sing happy birthday to me right here. And I just, you know, I saw here we go.
Understand a little bit of that, being an introvert myself. I know your mom is not that way, but little bitty things like that you would take for granted if you had a normal life, like the swallowing, just the little stuff that you would normally take for granted weighs pretty heavy in some situations. Some especially social situations like going out in public. So I can understand where she's coming from. But you made the comment bullheaded, and I was just thinking that whole time she's getting bullheaded. I thought that Whitmire in her made her that way from birth.
Yeah, I'm still laughing, man. Now, you're right. You're right. That's definitely where the bullheadedness come from. And I'm not sure what the high towers are. I think they may be a different level of bullheadedness. So you get bullheadedness level 1 plus bullheadedness level 5. I guess that's about where I fall in there somewhere.
Well, I think I would, at your level, I would probably come up with another animal like a Tyrannosaurus Rex or something like that. I think bull-headed is a mite bit underworded, I guess you'd say.
That's good. I ain't even got there yet. You own me. That's good. That's good. Oh, my goodness. Well, I am at, ooh, look at the deer. My goodness. Boy, they're running everywhere out here. Good grief. Well, that was nice to see this morning. So, I'm out here at the curve and fixing to make it your way, so I'll see you in about probably 20 seconds. That's KO4NUE. Name is Chad. I will be clear on your final QLG.
This will be my final then. KO4QLG, I'm clear.